It's always a blessing to be here, and I want to thank you so much for the graciousness you've extended to me and my family each time over the many years that the Lord has brought us here. It's always a blessing. Let's just bow our heads before the Lord. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we love you, that we've been washed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, born again by the Spirit of the living God. As we humbly come before your throne of grace this day, O Lord, we want to glorify you. We want to hear what the Holy Spirit would say to your people today. So we come to you, we love you, we praise you, and we give you the glory. For you, Jesus, are worthy to be praised. And we pray for you in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray as we pray for the rapture of the church and for the peace of Jerusalem. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Pastor Ryan was very kind to read some of the Psalms. And I also love to read God's Word. And so I was praying, and I also am going to ask you to turn to the book of Ephesians. And I'm going to read the first verse, starting in verse 17. And we're going to read, I know it's a little bit long, but I feel this is what I pray the Lord has put on my heart, to read to chapter 5, verse 13. I'm going to read the first verse, starting in verse 17 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. And then you can read the other verse, whether it be in Chinese or in English. But it's so important that we speak forth God's Word. So I would ask you to please stand as we read the Word of God. So this is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind.
Having their sin in darkness, deceived of the light of God, ignorance and ignorance of the blindness of their heart.
Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to licentiousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness.
But you have not told your
if you indeed have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Therefore, putting away lying, each one speak truth with his neighbor, and we are members of one another.
Be angry and sin,
you'll give place to the devil. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers.
And preach not the Holy Spirit
Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice.
And be not kind to
Therefore, be followers of God as dear children. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting the saints. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an adulterer has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God.
Let no man deceive you through vain words, for we know the things of him which are from the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience.
Therefore, do not be partakers with them.
For you are not my own heart, but you are the light, and you are the walk in the light.
For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose, reprove them. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, and whatever makes manifest is light. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, we praise you for your word, that we could read it and hear it. Lord, just bless this time. Pour out your Holy Spirit. Give me a gift of teaching, Lord. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Please be seated. The words of the Apostle Paul to each one of us of the way we should walk in this world. What Jesus Christ expects of us. The name of the message today is Do Not Be Conformed to This World. We all have that problem as we are every single day are in our schools, in our work, among our family, our friends. And there are all those temptations and all the problems that people have. In Romans chapter 12, I'd ask you to please turn there with me. The Apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Romans, has laid out what Jesus Christ has done for us. Really, the first 11 chapters, and we'll see that in a few minutes. But in chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are not under the law, but we are under grace. The law came through mercy, through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Paul's heart, he says, I beseech you, I beg you. A wonderful man of God reaching out to the people in Rome, the Romans. I beseech you, I beg you to listen to what I told you. He says, therefore, brethren. Now, when in the Bible, when someone says therefore, he's referring you back to the previous parts of the book of Romans. He says, therefore, by the mercies of God. In chapter 11 of the book of Romans, in verse 30, it says, for you were once disobedient to God. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one who have been born, we have been born into sin, we are sinners. We have all disobeyed God. Don't be deceived. Every single person needs a Savior. Every single person needs Jesus Christ. We were once disobedient, yet now obtain mercy through their disobedience. When I realize how merciful God is to me, what God has forgiven me, I'm humbled. God has forgiven me much in my life. God is a God of mercy and love and grace. A God of forgiveness. And in Romans it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So God's mercy, therefore, your bodies to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. So Paul is saying, okay, God is merciful to you. How do you respond to the mercy of God? How do you respond to the forgiveness and the love and the grace that you have through Jesus Christ? In chapter 8 of the book of Romans, in verse 1, there is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who have been washed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, born again by the Spirit of the living God, there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. I have been forgiven. My sins have been taken away by my faith in Jesus Christ. I've been washed by the blood of Christ. There is no condemnation to those that are in Jesus Christ. Therefore, my body should be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. I respond. It's not that we first love God, but that God first loved us. Oh, how loving a God we have that we serve. In verse 11, it says, but if the Spirit of, in Romans 8, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. The moment we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in us. We're born again by the Spirit of God. And this same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead will raise us up in that day at the rapture of the church. Jesus Christ is a bodily resurrection. That's what Jesus did for you. That there's a hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And one day we will be raised in glory. This is what Jesus has done for you. In Romans 8, verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You are a child of God. And it says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also glorify together. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a child of God. So often we hear, everyone's a child of God. That's not what the Word of God says. As many as received Him, He gave them the power and the right to become children of God. You, if you receive Christ in your heart as your Lord and Savior, you are His child. An adopted son of God. An heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We do suffer. We do have difficult times. There are people who pick on kids at school. Some people at your workplace are not nice to you, especially when you're standing for Jesus Christ. It is hard. There are some people who are afflicted and sick and are hurting. But the love of God, the grace of God is sufficient, and His strength is made perfect in our weakness. God loves you. Jesus loves you. And He showed that love upon a cross as He died in your place for your sins and shed His precious blood on the cross so that we could have eternal life. Died on that cross, was buried, and 3 days later, He bodily raised from the dead. And by faith in Him alone, you can have eternal life. God Almighty came to this earth to die in our place. That is what Christ has done for you. That is how much He loves you and cares for you. And when we look at that, it should touch our hearts. In Romans chapter 7, verse 24, Paul cries out, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I might serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. How do you look at yourself? Paul the Apostle, who wrote more of the New Testament than anyone else, said, "Oh, what a wretched man that I am. Oh no, I'm pretty good, you know. I'm not as bad as the people out there. Oh, look how good I am. I am a Christian." Paul knew where he was. "Oh, what a wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ." He always comes back to the cross. He always comes back to Jesus Christ. He glories in Christ. Let he who glory, then glory in the Lord. Only in Jesus Christ. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." When we've all been born into sin, we have been separated from God. The wages of sin is death. Eternal separation from God and going to hell. But God loves you, and he sent and gave his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. So the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. I don't have to work my way to heaven. I, by faith alone in Christ, who he is and what he's done, I will have eternal life. These are the things that Paul has given and has shown the Romans and is showing us. And then he asks us that our bodies are to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Now, in chapter 6 of Romans, it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace should abound? Certainly not. How long we who died in sin live any longer in it?" How are you living your life? Every single day. What is your heart like when you look at people? Is there anger and frustration towards other people? How shall we who died to sin never live any longer in it? Should we continue to sin? Of course, the answer is not. No. Romans 5. It says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The Bible teaches that before you came to Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're going to see that you were an enemy of God. Every single person who has not received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior is an enemy of God. You are in enmity with God. Now that's hard to hear in this day and age. But if you're not born again by the Spirit of God, if you're not saved, you are an enemy of God. You're either in this world or you're with Christ. You're in Christ or you're not. There is no two. There isn't, I'm in the middle, I'm on the line. There is no gray area. You're either saved and you're going to heaven to be with Jesus Christ, or you're going to hell because you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. You've never repented of your sins. But when we come to Christ, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. He's reconciled us back to God. Sin has separated us from God. I've been justified by my faith in Christ. Not my works, but by faith alone. Do you realize, when I think about that I have peace with God because of my faith in Jesus Christ. What he did, who he is, and how much he loves us. Through whom we have access by faith into his grace, in verse 2, which we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. We do go through tribulations. We go through trials. But God is always there. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. When we go through a difficult time, He's there for us. He loves us. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me, I will by no means cast them out. This is a God who loves you, who cares for you. Every hair on your head, every thought that you have, He knows. And the tribulations does produce perseverance, character, hope. But this next verse I love. I love this verse. Now the hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. When you are a Christian, the love of God has been poured out in your heart. Think about that. The love of God is poured out in our hearts because of our faith in Jesus Christ, trusting in Him as our Lord and our Savior. Oh, how great a salvation God has given us through Jesus Christ. This is what Paul is brought forward when we get to chapter 12. And you can go through the book of Romans in chapter 3. There's the last one, then we'll go back to chapter 12. In chapter 3, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. You've been justified by the grace of God. You have been forgiven of your sin. You're redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ upon the cross. And it says, whom God sent forth to be a propitiation by His blood through faith. A mercy seat. He stood in our place, took our sins upon the cross. He who knew no sin became sin. And it says, to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance, God passed over the sins that were previously committed. Now, let's go back to Romans chapter 12. These are only some of the things that God, through Jesus Christ, has done for each one of you. God wants to all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So now, therefore, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. What God has asked you is reasonable. And when you submit to Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit allows you to do what God has called you to do. It's reasonable. We are to have a body that is holy, as a living sacrifice acceptable to God, because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. That is what the Apostle Paul is saying. Now, this, unfortunately, is very hard to do sometimes. When our bodies are a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, we are not conformed to this world. But our heart and mind are laid before Jesus Christ. want to do the will of God. We want to please God. We love God. The love of Christ constrains us. We yield to the Holy Spirit. We yield to Jesus Christ. According to the Word of God, led by the Holy Spirit of God. Totally committed to Jesus Christ. Now, the pressure upon the Christian in this world is very great. You guys are in school. You know how difficult it is every single day. You hear the talk in the school. You hear the junk. You hear the movies that are being talked about. You ladies are in school. Some are in college. The young ladies over there. You hear all the junk every single day. Jesus Christ loves you and He wants you to follow Him. The pressure on you is very great. It's true in the workplace. How many times in the workplace would you hear things that are grieving to your spirit? The gossip. How about the foul language? It breaks my heart. It grieves the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within you. If you can stand that junk and that language, you better go back to the Lord and you better reevaluate where you are with Jesus Christ. If you say, I'm a Christian, but I can hear this junk. Those people that support gay marriage, that's an abomination before God. There was a poll that was taken recently in a Christian high school where 70% of the Christians in that school said gay marriage is okay. Gay marriage is an abomination before God. One man, a man shall leave his wife his parents and cleave to his wife. One man, one woman, that is the marriage that is sanctioned before God in His Word. Anything else is an abomination before God. What do you think? Are you conforming to the image of this world? What do you think of the sin and the movies that are out there? What about the Twilight series? What about these series that everyone thinks it's fun and it's vampires? It's an abomination before God. Oh, I'm not conforming to the world. I can take it. What are you putting into your minds? What are you looking at? What's in your heart? Christ has done all these things for you, Paul said. Now he says your body is to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And do not be conformed to this world. Do you believe that? Think about it. Do you believe that? Are we to live for Jesus Christ or live for ourselves and for the world? Paul is saying, I beg you, your sin separates you from God. When you are a Christian and you sin and you're into these things, that fellowship with God is broken. You can't continue to be in the world and believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is with you. Do not be deceived. That's what Paul says. If you take in the garbage, it will affect you. A little bit of leaven will leaven the whole loaf. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the living God dwells in each one of you as Christians. Now, let's go to James chapter 4. In James chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." What do you think of that? This is God's word. Do you believe this is the word of God? No, I want to be friends. I want to be liked by the world. I want everyone to like me. Like a politician. Well, I'll compromise with what I believe so that I can get my votes. I'll compromise with what I believe so I'll have friends who will like me. That's sad. We have been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We are no longer our own. We belong to Him. I've given my life to Him because I love Him and I realize what He's done for me. I respond to the love of God. Not that I first loved Him, but that He first loved me and gave Himself as a propitiation for my sins. Never forget what Jesus Christ has done for you. How much He loves you. And when you remember that, you respond to His love. You want to... as a child, I want to please my father and my mother. I want to do that. I realize what my father and mother have done. The children today sometimes don't realize how much their parents love them. How much they sacrifice for them. Because they love them and they want to help them. Our Heavenly Father gave His Son to die on a cross for our sins. It pleased the Father to bruise the Son, as God laid on Him the iniquities of us all. We respond to the love of God by our faith in Jesus Christ. And so I want to live a life that is pleasing. I don't want to be conformed to the image of this world. I am to be separated, sanctified, set apart for the work of God. If you say you're a Christian and you're doing all these things, what type of witness are you? You come to church on Sunday, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you live like the world. How does that glorify Jesus Christ? How does that please the God who died on the cross for your sins? Tell me. Tell me how it does. Doesn't. It grieves the Holy Spirit of God. It grieves our Lord when we do that. It says, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you not think the scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But He gives more grace, therefore, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So we are to friendship with the world is enmity with God. The world in which we live is against God and His word. The world has its own God. The God of this age, Satan. You're either for God or you're against Him. There is no middle ground. You're either saved, as I said before, you're going to heaven or you're going to hell because you rejected Jesus Christ, God's Son. The world has its own music, politics, art, literature, religion, lifestyles, thought patterns. The world seeks to conform you into their image. To their customs, to their cultures, to their ways, to their thoughts. Jesus Christ died to die. love this world or the things of this world. That's what God says. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15. Some people will say, gee, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear this. This is too strong. God loves you. He chastens those who He loves. We need to walk uprightly. In 1 John 2:15 it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. You know, Jesus said to Peter, do you love these things more than me? What's important to you? What's important? What is the thing that's most important in your life? You ever ask that question? Most important things in our life should be Jesus Christ. You have to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. My first commitment is to Jesus Christ. I am Him. I am His. I've been purchased by the blood of Christ. I'm no longer my own. I've given my life to Him because I realize what He's done for me. What He's done for you. I live for Christ. To live is Christ. To die is gain. To live for Jesus Christ. It says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Think about that. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And that goes back to the Garden of Eden. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. The will of God is to believe on him who God has sent, his Son, Jesus Christ. These are important things for you to pray about, to think about, every single day that you're in this world. We are here to please Him, to serve Him, to worship Him, to glorify Him. We are to serve Him with a joyful heart. His burdens, his in Matthew 12, these are not burdensome things for those that are in Christ. That burden is light. Because this power of the Holy Spirit helps you to do what God has called you to do. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Throughout the scriptures, God calls out to His people. In chapter 3, verse 13. I'm sorry, chapter 1. I'm sorry. Forgive me for that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. We are to be holy. Now we've all fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God wants you to be holy, to be as He is. chapter 3. I'm sorry, chapter 4. What happened? How many people have become Christians here and then they go back to the people that they work with? They go back to their friends. What is the reaction of those friends and the people that you work with? Your relatives. Oh no, you're not one of those born-again Christians, are you? Are you one of those narrow-minded, intolerant people? Did you hear that? I used to be in Hollywood. I used to be a writer. And I came to Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And I went back and I started to share with the people that I knew. Are you crazy? What are you doing? You're not as much fun as you used to be. You used to be a funny guy. I used to be able to tell jokes. I used to be a comedian on Sunset Strip at the Laugh Factory. On Sunset Boulevard. You're not as funny as we thought you were. They didn't understand what Christ had done in my life. I realized how much He had forgiven me. How much He loved me. And I wanted to live my life. In chapter 4 of 1 Peter says, in regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. If you're going to live for Jesus Christ, they will persecute you. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. They'll think you're strange. They'll speak evil of you. They won't like you. They'll make fun of you. But that's why you have a wonderful body of Christ here at this church. Men and women who are leaders who encourage you to walk with Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says, In 1 Peter, also not conforming yourself to the former ones. We're almost finished now. In Colossians, Paul says, set your mind on things above, not things on the earth. You will suffer persecution upon this earth. They will not like you. But you bring glory to Jesus Christ and you are a light in the dark in the world. Parents, your children are in most cases secular schools. Know what they are reading. Know what they are studying. You have a responsibility before God to train the child in the way they shall go, and when they are old, they shall not depart from it. You need to know what your kids are reading. You need to know what they're looking at the internet. Oh no, I'm busy. You have a responsibility before God to know what your children are doing. Because God's going to hold you responsible if you're too busy to take care of your children. I never knew my daughter or my son was into that. Where are they going at night? Who are their friends? Who are their parents' friends? You have responsibility before God to know what they're doing. To train them, to nurture them, to love them, to be their friend, but also, most of all, as a parent. Tell them, I'm sorry, this is wrong. This is not what the Word of God says. How many times do you pray with them? How many times do you go through the Word of God with them? Take 5 minutes, 10 minutes of the time, read from God's Word. Tell them what God has shown you. You have a responsibility before God to do that. Oh, I'll relegate it to the school. We had someone tell us, trust us. Ever hear that? Oh, we're educators. We know what we're doing. You have an obligation before God to know what's happening in your own home and what your children are doing and where they're going and what they're saying. Oh, I got to work on my. Let me go. I got a message here. I better go check and see what it is. Well, let me text you. You're all my friends. And let me do. Oh yeah. Oh, I see. Ryan. Okay. I'll text you. Spend more time on the phones and the computers than we do thinking about God and what He's done for us. True, isn't it? You're responsible before God. We're not to be conformed to the image of this world. The schools, they do some good stuff, but they're not your friends. You are Christians. Their world perspective is different than a Christian world perspective. You should know that. Now, I had someone write a letter, and I'm going to read this. And it says, they say, this is about some of the things that are going on with the kids. They say that medical mistakes are the pricey ones. But the mistakes of parents often manifest themselves much later. Their devastating price is broken hearts, lives, and souls. Christianity in America continues to lose ground because very few Christians are willing to defend their faith and their Lord with their life. You who have relatives in China know the difficulty for those who are standing for Christ in that great country. How much they're willing to give for the cause of Christ. My own wife in Russia will tell you, those who even wanted to talk about the Word of God. I'm going to read you something, if I may. A famous woman wrote this. You're free to pray to God as long as no one hears you. Author of these words was sentenced to 10 years of hard labor in Siberia without a right of communication. I was born in an atheistic society where atheism was a way of life and a state religion, where your whole life, even your thoughts, were subject to censorship. Soon after birth, he was subjected to harsh, unavoidable, and forcible indoctrination. You were given no choice. The name of God was mocked. Just for mentioning the Word of God and the name of Jesus Christ, just for possession of the Bible, you were subject to criminal prosecution. That was written by my wife. I was born in Russia. How difficult it was. We take the freedom we have in this country too lightly. Those in Russia and China and other parts are Christians who are being killed for their faith and their love for Jesus Christ. You should be praying for them. Imagine this woman who is 10 years old. You're free to pray to God as long as no one hears you. My heart weeps, but And so, read, we were, there are books out there that your kids are reading. You need to know what they're reading, what they're doing. And you kids need to make sure you are to be discerning. You are to be defenders of the faith. Know what you're reading and say, this is wrong before the Word of God. Be a light among the darkness. It's very important. Getting back, these are the things that my wife had written. Christianity in America continues to lose ground because very few Christians are willing to defend their faith and the Lord with their life. Instead, majority compromise in order to be accepted by the world. In Isaiah 30, she said, speak to us smooth things. Give us the easy things. Tell us, I know Jesus loves me, just tell me that. Paul said, I haven't shunned to give you the whole counsel of God's word. There is no way, my wife wrote, there is no way for the Christians to assimilate into this world. For we are not of this world. Or into sin. For what fellowship does the light have with darkness? What fellowship as a Christian do you have with these things that are so bad, so evil? The only way to keep our children from stumbling and falling away is not injecting them with what the world has to give, but bathing them in prayer and feeding them with the pure milk of the Word. Pray for your children. You children, pray for your parents. Pray for the leaders of this church. And bathe them in the pure milk of the Word of God. And it is God in June 25 that keeps you from stumbling as you seek the Holy Spirit. Do not be conformed to this world. May your body be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And so, as we finish, I want to give you guys a chance for those who have never received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, or have who want to get right back with God, who want to repent and have that relationship with God. This is the gospel. There is one God eternally existent in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. These three are one. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God who came to this earth to die in your place, for your sin, for our sin, paid the full penalty for your sin. He died on the cross, shed his blood on the cross, was buried and was bodily raised from the dead. We need to repent of our sins and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's time to get right with God. It's true if you're young, and if you're true if you're old, it's time to come back to Jesus Christ, to consider your ways, to come back to Him. And Jesus said, if anyone comes to me, I will by no means cast them out. So I'm going to ask you, Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I will confess you before my Father and His angels in heaven. I'm going to ask for those people who have never come to Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior to repent and to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And those who have been not walking with the Lord to repent and come back to Him. And if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And that's true for the kids in the back over there. It's true for the kids here, the older people here, wherever it is. It's time to get right with God. So I will lead you in a prayer to commit your life to Jesus Christ and to recommit your life to Jesus Christ. Because He loves you and wants to forgive you. So I'll ask you to repeat with me. If you feel led, not because your friend, your neighbor, or anything else, because you want to be right with Jesus Christ and you want to receive Him in your heart. So I'll ask you to repeat with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Please forgive my sins. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart God raised Him from the dead. I commit my life to Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is my Savior. I ask Jesus into my heart today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. By God's word, you prayed that prayer with your heart. All your sins have been washed by Jesus Christ. That is God's promise to you, that you are saved and you're going to be in heaven for all eternity because you put your faith in Him. I want to just end in a quick prayer. Father, we just thank You and praise You for what You have done here tonight, today. God, You love them so much. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Bless these people, Lord. Pour out Your Holy Spirit upon them. Help them to do the things that You call them to do. We love You, Jesus. We praise You, Jesus. And we give You the glory. As we pray for the rapture of the church and for the peace of Jerusalem, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
God bless you and thank you so much. Praise the Lord.
下面是我们。